Welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. Stay tuned for singing and the morning message. Good morning and welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Christ Fellowship Bible Church is an independent church that serves the Crisfield Marion Station area, and we meet at 5910 Crisfield Highway here in Marion Station. Our Sundays begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m. We have classes for our adults and youth, and we'd love to have you come and join us for that. Then following our Sunday school hour, we have our worship service that begins at 10 o'clock. And if you live down on the eastern shore of Virginia, Pocomoke, Snow Hill, Berlin, Salisbury, Fruitland, Princess Anne, Mount Vernon, even over on Tangier, Smith Island, we'll send a boat down to pick you up at the dock if you'd like to come. You've got plenty of time this morning to join us. So come on out, 10 o'clock. We've got about an hour and a half, so come join us today. Tonight, we would normally have our evening worship service, but guess what? We've got the Waycaster family coming in this evening. The Waycaster family is well-known, especially up and down the East Coast, and as far as country music, Christian country music goes. We'd love to have you come out tonight. That's at 6 o'clock here at the church. The Waycaster family, 6 o'clock tonight here at the church. They'll be singing for us. We're going to have a little fellowship afterwards, so come on out and join us tonight, 6 o'clock this evening, for our time with the Waycaster family in concert. It's a free concert. We will take up an offering for them, but again, come on, 6 o'clock this evening for the Waycasters. This week, the only thing that we do have scheduled following the Waycaster family will be Wednesday morning down at the nursing home. We'll be down there having some music with the residents and some prayer and devotion with them. That's 10 o'clock Wednesday morning, and the community is welcome to come out and join us. That's either on the second or third floor of the Taws Nursing Home building. So come on and join us 10 o'clock Wednesday morning. With all that being said, got a song right now that Miss Sandy Whip sang for us this past Sunday. And I pray that it would be a blessing to each one of you.
There is an unseen hand to me that leads in ways I cannot see. While going through this
Amen. That was Miss Sandy Whipps singing for us, The Unseen Hand. And I greatly appreciate the message in that song, because certainly as God is the invisible God, but he makes himself known, and he certainly made himself known to us through his son, Jesus Christ. My wife has let me know I had a little slip up there at the beginning. She said I'd send a boat down to the dock to pick you up. Friends, I'll send a car down to the dock to pick you up. If you come over in the boat, we'll certainly get a car to pick you up at the dock. So come on over from Smith Island in Tangier today. Right now I've got a message I preached last Sunday morning out of John, the third epistle of John. And I pray that the Lord would use it today to be an encouragement to you and really draw you closer to him.
I'm going to read those first eight verses in that third epistle back there by Revelation. If you find Revelation, you'll back up a little bit to Jude, and then you'll find that third epistle of John. The Bible says, "The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified to the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth." Over the last few weeks, we've been here in this third epistle of John, and today we come to a place where Paul is acknowledging that of John and his, John is acknowledging Gaius of his faithfulness to that of the itinerant pastors, the preachers, I should say, that are passing through, these ministers of the gospel, these individuals that were going about teaching and preaching the word of God, whether they were the prophet of the day or, again, itinerant ministers, these preachers, missionaries, is what we would classify them as today. Paul or John notes there in the fifth verse, he says, "Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers." He was making note that regardless of who would come, whether it was someone that was known to him or whether it was a stranger, that he showed hospitality to them. If they were of the faith, he was very adamant about helping them out, sending them on their way, making sure they had provision for their journey, no matter where they were headed. And also, as it noted in verse 6, is he would help whatever he was doing, you faithfully, whatever you do for the brethren and the strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. So not only as we talk about that of Gaius, his demeanor toward that of those that he knew, those strangers, those that were going out into the world to administer the gospel, his faithfulness to those people, it continued to reverberate back to the church. They would testify of his love for that of the stranger, for the missionary, for the one who was going out. And it says again, who have borne witness of your love before the church. He says, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Again, Gaius, he was certainly a hospitable soul. He was one who was more than willing to do whatever it would take to get that of the gospel message, the church there in its infancy, whatever it would take to get the gospel message going. And as we look at Gaius, as we look at his life, we want to understand some things that, as it was noted here, that that was the understanding that Gaius, he knew the truth. There was a knowing of the Word of God. But also it was just not a knowing of the Word of God. There's a lot of people today that know the Word. They may have grown up in church. And again, as we look at the generations that are growing up now, not like, you know, a generation of long ago where it seemed like in my generation there was a departing from church life. It seemed like it started there for us. We just started slowly separating ourselves from the church for whatever reasons we could argue. But to understand that there are those that are out there that know the truth, they know the scripture, they can quote you certain passages, they know Bible stories, as they would like to refer to them as. They can talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They can share with people about certain psalms, like the 23rd Psalm, these popular verses or passages that people know. They know these things. They know these things. But the question would be, if we do know these things, are they having an effect upon our lives? Are we such a people as Gaius? Because Gaius knew the truth. He knew the truth. But it was it making a difference in his life? And we can certainly say, yes, it was. We could say, because the early church, it was there in Gaius' time, that they have borne witness of your love before the church. And this love of which we have that is shed abroad in our hearts by God, that should be manifesting itself outwardly. And that's what we see in Gaius' life. And not only is it something that was hidden, but we know that as he was going about loving the people in the church, this love that he had was active. We understand as we look at love in the scripture that it is a verb. It requires action. If we say we love God and we love our brother and sister in the Lord, that it requires action. It's not something of which we just pat them on the back and say we love you and send them on their way if they're in need of help. We note here that as Gaius, as it says, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for the stranger, and who have borne witness of your love before the church. So we understand that as we, and now the greater understanding we have is the scripture has been put together, the New Testament, and we know that if we have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, that there is a change that is wrought in the heart of individuals. We are born again by the Spirit of God. And we can interchange a lot of terms. We speak of being born again, saved, regenerated, a new creation in Christ. All these terms used in a synonymous way. But it comes back to when we have been touched by the Lord, that we have confessed our sin before God, trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. The believer becomes a new creation in Christ, and his or her life is changed. They're no longer the same person. And it should play out in the life of the church. That's where it certainly should begin. That new life should play itself out in the life of the church. And also, not only within the life of the church, even though that's where it begins, but it also makes its way out into the world. The new life of which Christ has wrought in our souls, it plays out in the life of the church and out into the world. And we have testimony to this, that this is how it should be. If we are genuinely saved, there should be a change in the heart of the believer. If we have truly come to faith in Jesus Christ, you and I live differently now than how we used to. Luke chapter 6 tells us this. Jesus, as he is speaking about in verses 43 through 45, he talks about a tree is known by its fruit. But verse 46 is where I want us to look. Chapter 6 of Luke 46. Jesus says these words. He says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose and the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Jesus here makes it very clear that if we say, "Lord, Lord," if we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, just again, we can say, yes, I believe in the Lord. You've heard me say this time and time again. We've got people that proclaim a faith in God, but a true faith in God, a true faith in His Son Jesus Christ brings about a change. And part of that change is, as Jesus notes here, He says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not and not do the things which I say? Because those things go hand in hand. Faith, belief, along with works. Those two are synonymous. You cannot have one without the other. If we are believers, if we have truly confessed Christ as Savior and been born again, saved, regenerated, whatever term we care to use this morning, it just goes hand in hand. If I am saved, then works should follow. I should be that of whom I am professing to be, just not an individual who, as noted, makes some kind of profession, just as Jesus says in the second part of that parable. Because if we are saying, Lord, Lord, and we are not adhering to the things of which Jesus Christ Himself has said, then our conversion is false. Because he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, and it says, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. It was great. Also in Luke, if you jump just a few more chapters, Luke chapter 11, we note in the verses, verses 27. Here's what he has to say in response to a lady when she spoke about how blessed it was to have been the mother of Jesus. The woman says there in verse 27, and it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. So making this like there is this tie with, again, referring to Mary, his wife, his mother, that there is this tie, this relationship that apparently is there. But what does Jesus say in response? What does he say? But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and what? Keep it. Hear the word of God and keep it. Those are the blessed ones, just not those of us that may have some kind of superficial relationship with the Lord at best. But if we have come to faith in Christ, and as we go back and look at Gaius, he was a man who knew the truth, and he was being conformed to that truth. He was being conformed by it. The truth was making a difference in his life. And as Jesus says, again, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So we would come back to it. Do we know? Do we know the word of God? And there are plenty of people today that they know the word of God. They've been to vacation Bible schools. They've been to Sunday schools. They've been to church services like this and Bible studies. Matter of fact, the one verse that always comes to mind when I think of vacation Bible school is the verse I learned way years ago, Matthew 4:19, which was a part I sensed my calling into ministry. You know, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And that was something I learned in vacation Bible school years and years ago. But noted that unless the word of God has taken root and we have been regenerated by the power of God, that, friends, it does us, as Jesus notes here, that who hear the word and they keep it. Hearing and doing. Not just idly sitting by. Just not saying, that was a great sermon, preacher. That was a great Bible lesson today, Sunday school teacher. That was just a good word. But that we take the word of God, we take what God has spoken to us that we know is legitimately and absolutely true from his word, and we go and we apply that. We make those applications of his word. So when we speak along the lines of what our goal, when we talk like vacation Bible school or Sunday school, or when people stand behind normally the pulpit that is behind this screen here, or stand behind a little whatever this is, this nice little music stand, that the goal is just not to teach the truth. Certainly, we want to teach the truth. We want to teach God's word. But the end result is, and it's not also that the people themselves will understand it. That's not the end goal. The end goal for us is that we, as the people of God, when we hear the word of God taught, that we are just not taught the word, we are just not understanding the word, but we would come to a place where we would believe the word, we would love the word, and that we would obey the word. That we would believe it, love it, and obey it. And for one that is born again, who has come to saving faith in Christ, that is our joy, that is our hope. Because we would want to hear the word of God. We would want, as we read it, and we believe those things. And then there's a love for it, because we understand that this book was written to us because of the love of God, that we can know what salvation is, we can know what hope is, we can know what God is like, and we can know what heaven is all about, and how you and I can avoid hell, and that we can have our eternity established in the heavenlies. And here and now, that as we lead out our lives, that as we believe this truth, we love this truth, but we obey the truth. There seems to be a disconnect sometimes. Because friends, it's not again that we just stand here and the end goal being that we just want to teach it and preach it and just the people understand it. But the end goal, friends, is that we be people that obey it. That we be people that obey it. Because that is what changes. We believe the gospel. And when we believe that gospel and obey what God said, that we repent in doing so, that we were saved people. The Bible tells us, if you turn with me, keep turning back a little bit more, 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. If you find Romans, that's the next book. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Looking at verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. Paul says this. He says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Remember, he's writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to people who should, yes, know the truth, but should be obeying the truth. I don't write to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. It's just not that Paul stood up and just preached till he was blue in the face and there was no change in their lives. That what he said made no effect on them. There was no application. Paul's saying, I come to warn you. Not to shame you, I warn you. Just as you have many instructors in Christ, but not many fathers, in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. He says, therefore I urge you, imitate me. Imitate my life, my demeanor, how I carry myself. And Paul, certainly one of the greatest men of which we know in the New Testament apart from Jesus Christ, and he was encouraging the church, imitate me. Do as I do. As Paul would say in another place, as I follow Christ, you follow me. Imitate me, he says. 1 Thessalonians, jump back a little bit more. 1 Thessalonians, there in the 3rd chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 says this. He says, therefore we could no longer endure, verse 1, endure it. We thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before that we were with you that, excuse me, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. Paul here is concerned, his pastoral concern for the church. He was concerned that the tempter may have come in and that his labor for them, as he labored to see them grow and mature in Christ, that it may have been in vain. But what does he say? Verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our afflictions and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. And what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith. This whole idea that Paul sets before them, he's concerned for their faith, but then when he comes back, Timothy comes back and says, this is what's going on with the Thessalonians. Everything's good. They're moving right along. They're marching forward in their faith. They are growing in the faith. And as Paul notes, he was encouraged by that. The good news of your faith and love in verse 6, and that you always have a good remembrance of us, these things of which the church itself was growing, it was maturing. They did not have a dead faith. They had a faith that was truly a saving faith.
Well, dear friends, that's all we've got time for this morning. If you'd like to contact us, please call 410-623-2401. And remember tonight that the Waycaster family will be with us at 6 o'clock. Come out and join us. 6 o'clock. The doors will be open at 5. God bless you all. You have a wonderful week in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for